Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business. Andrew Koenig, CEO of Redefine Properties, joins us now after the group posted a really solid set of full-year numbers in a still very uncertain macro backdrop. Distributable income up 7.8%, the dividend higher at 45.84 cents, loan-to-value easing to 40.6%, and liquidity north of 6 billion rand. Andrew, welcome. You've called this year's theme the upside of us, so let's start there. What does that mean for investors looking at Redefine's balance sheet and portfolio today?
So good evening, Michael, and thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, so the upside of us is really speaking to a broader movement around practicing mindful optimism. And we're starting to see that translate into all of our numbers, Michael. For us, what is going to leverage our growth in both capital as well as income prospects going forward is around balance sheet strength and portfolio quality. And those are the two areas that we've been really, really focused on in terms of improving both the portfolio and simplifying also our business whilst maintaining a strong balance sheet.
If you look at the performance and the earnings quality, distributable income rose almost 8% and your payout lifted accordingly. There were some property fair value gains and some forex tailwinds in that. What do you see as the underlying engine of that growth? Are we starting to see rental reversions turning positive yet?
So, Michael, I think you need to unpack that on a sector-by-sector basis. Certainly, what we are seeing is positive shifts across the board. So if you have a look at retail, reversions are now firmly into the positive territory, and that means that expiring rentals are now being renewed at rentals higher than the expiry levels. In previous years, it was negative. In last year, it was virtually 0%. This year, it's plus 1%. Offices still remain quite challenging. They are negative. Last year was 13.9%. This year, it's 12.9%. So it's trending in the right direction, albeit slowly. And those market rentals are really a function of, or sluggish market rental growth or negative market rental growth is really a function of excess demand that is still in the system, Michael, because services drive office demand. And without economic growth, unfortunately, services don't grow. And as a consequence of that, market rentals remain sluggish in terms of movement. And when you have a base rental that was negotiated in very different property cycles and are escalating at approximately 7 to 8% per annum, you're going to get a situation where you are going to revert negatively. The industrial sector is a different story. It's always been a defensive asset class, and we're seeing market rentals grow. And this is as a consequence of new demand coming to market, and that's principally on the back of retail growth. And it's been a positive story. So overall for Redefine as a group, it is positive. It's going in the right direction, our reversions. They're still negative, but they are less negative than they were previously.
When you look at the overall picture in, let's look at retail, for example, we know it's a very dynamic sector. You've got some big anchor tenants like Pick and Pay who've had to right-size their asset base. You've got Checkers who are going and taking up extra stores. You've got those exclusionary clauses coming to an end, so there'll be real competition. You've got Walmart coming into the market now. What's your view on retail over the medium term?
So we're very bullish around retail's prospects, Michael. We have certainly seen an uptick in demand from our nationals, and we certainly are very excited about what's going to come in the future in terms of Pick and Pay that's stabilized and is going to be improving. And then similarly, the new entrants like Walmart could shake up the market a bit. So I think we're going to benefit from this extra demand coming into the system.
That said, you're still managing very, very well given all of the pressures. Your operating profit margin at 76% is impressive given everything that you've outlined. Where are you finding the efficiencies? Managing those utilities better? Is it financing, lease cost recovery? Just kind of pulling every lever you can, I guess, Andrew.
Yeah, so for us, Michael, it's all about focusing on the variables under our control. As you know, rentals and revenue is not growing at the rate we would like it to. So there's a very strong focus on efficiency, and that is driven principally by all our sustainability initiatives, which are focused on consumption management, whether it's electricity, whether it's water, and then obviously keeping a very watchful eye on the rates and taxes as well in terms of managing them to make sure that they're not excessive in terms of what municipal councils charge us. Having said that, though, administered prices are outside of our control. So the only real lever we've got is consumption, and that is where our sustainability efforts around solar, for example, and water efficiency measures come into play to manage that consumption down. Having said that, it does come with a very close collaboration with our tenants to make sure that they also cooperate in terms of responsible use of utilities.
Yeah, and I guess until we see real political change at a local government level in some key areas in which you operate, very difficult to see some of those headwinds turning into tailwinds. I was interviewing Helen Ziller recently, who's thrown her hat in the ring for the mayor of Johannesburg next year, and she seems to have her finger on the pulse of all of the hot button issues that are wrong and has a plan for each and every single one of them. And if ever you're going to put someone into the viper's pit, that is the city of Johannesburg, she may not be everyone's cup of tea, but I would get Helen to go and bat for me every day of the week. So let's hope that does happen. Let's look at your portfolio quality, though. Redefine, as we know, has been recycling non-core assets for several years now. How much more can you sell without shrinking the earnings base? Where do you think you are in that particular cycle?
So Michael, you're 100% correct in that we've been very active on the disposal front over many years. You can see it, for example, in our office portfolio, where 96% of the portfolio is either premium or A-grade properties at this point in time. You can also see it in the average value per property that is now well over 170 million rand on average per property. Now, the focus for us is not essentially on selling for selling's sake. It's really select disposals of non-core assets. So these are either assets that have come to the end of their life cycle from a income yield point of view. So whatever income we are losing from selling that property, we believe we can redeploy it into a new asset that will replace that lost revenue. So there's no revenue loss there. And then similarly, from a vacant land perspective, which, as you know, vacant land is a drag on earnings because you have holding costs until you develop those properties. So we're also looking at disposing land that we believe we won't be able to develop in the medium term into productive assets. So it's really around the fringes that we are disposing, Michael. So we're not shrinking the asset base. It's more about refining what we've got and improving what we've got and making sure that the assets that we retain are capable of yielding their highest and best return for years to come.
Looking offshore, EPP was a big move for Redefine. And we know roughly a third of your assets now sit offshore, mainly in Poland's retail and logistics markets. But self-storage in Poland is now an intriguing niche. 7 new developments approved, a 1.4 billion rand pipeline. What's the target IRR here? And how scalable is that segment relative to your core retail and logistics business over there?
So, Michael, it's an immature market at the moment. The self-storage sector requires development and consumer education, and that is the opportunity for us. It's relatively underdeveloped, and you've been there many times, so you will know how many rows of apartment blocks you will see in any big city. However, there is no space for people's stuff, and we all know that we all accumulate whatever it is, if it's a sporting good or whether it's a wardrobe or furniture, whatever it may be, you are going to require storage. And that's the real opportunity for us. So to scale it up, Michael, we're looking at developing effectively in the short to medium term a portfolio of institutional grade self-storage facilities that will total about 100 million euros. And then when we get to that point, we will look to involve an equity investor, like we did with our logistics platform, to grow it by a further 100 million. So in the next, say, 5 to 8 years, we anticipate having a portfolio of about 200 million in large cities. And these will all be, as I said, institutional grade facilities that we believe are capable then of being sold for quite a handsome capital gain. So if you look at internal rates of return, you're looking at returns in the region of about 20%. So if you hold this for 5 or so years, you hope to double your capital.
And that's, probably quite conservative given, as you say, what we've seen in Poland and just the densification of that market and no real storage over there. Looking at the balance sheet, and you know, you've been very disciplined through a very tough period that you've managed the business. You ended the year with 6.7 billion in cash and undrawn facilities. I mean, that's real firepower. How are you thinking about deploying it? Is it further de-gearing, selective development, share buybacks? Or I know there's a lot of talk around consolidation in the sector. Is that potentially on the radar screen for you if the right kind of deal comes across your screen?
So our first priority is to get our share price at a forward yield that starts becoming attractive from a cost of equity perspective. So right now, if you look at where Redefine is priced, it's at a earnings yield of approximately 10%. It's still a bit high to be doing anything from an M&A perspective. When it starts going below 9%, I think then things start becoming very interesting. And then we will start looking around at opportunities. So for now, we're going to sit on our hands, not to do nothing, but rather to focus on the variables under our control and to get that balance sheet strength even stronger to assist. And this is around those Polish joint ventures that we need to simplify so that we can reduce the equity risk so that we can get priced at a level that we can start raising equity. This liquidity that you mentioned earlier is essentially debt facilities. So we don't want to dip into our debt and push our LTV upwards. We would rather wait and get the equity markets interested in Redefine once again so that we can raise capital. And then we can look at deploying that into new avenues to earn reasonable returns.
And what do you think would be the trigger for equity markets to further look at the REIT sector, given that it's had a really good 2024, was the outstanding sector, and had a good year this year, probably outshone by platinum group metals and gold, which kind of blew everything out the water? Because if you look at your market cap, 36 billion, you're still at a discount of roughly 20 to 25% to your NAV. Well, what do you think now gets you closer to closing that discount and into that equity cap raise to pursue M&A?
So, Michael, we always believed that a growth story and then obviously having balance sheet strength in terms of an LTV that is, let's call it, at the current level or slightly lower, are the two principal drivers of that share price. I think we can now tick the growth story. We're well on our way to delivering on that. And now it's a question of getting our balance sheet strength even stronger through reducing the see-through loan-to-value ratio. And that will come from simplifying our joint ventures that are in Poland, principally in the retail sectors and to some extent ELI as well. And we are very focused on that, Michael. So in the new year, I think that is going to come together. We're just waiting for some institutional investment activity to pick up in that market. And then we'll be on our way. And then I think we will certainly be in a position to start accessing the equity markets once again.
Yeah, we see rates coming down, you know, with many now penciling in as much as another 100 bips over the period 2026 through 27. All of that lining up for what is hopefully another good year for Redefine. Andrew Koenig, thank you very much. CEO of Redefine Properties, the group closing its FY25 with a much stronger balance sheet, really resilient income growth, and a cautiously optimistic guidance for full year 2026. The upside of us, as they're calling it, we'll be watching whether that upside finds its way into the share price. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.